One NBA player making a pretty big accusation against LeBron James. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pearl, Jeff Teague. You remember him, of course?
Yeah, I remember him as a podcaster. I don't remember him as a player.
No. Be nice.
He played for a long time, a lot of different teams, but he does have a very popular podcast. It's called Club 520. He's a good storyteller. Manny giving me a thumbs up. He likes it.
And I love that podcast.
One of the funny things about Teague's pod is he does tell a lot of stories from his time in the NBA. And he's kind of the perfect person you want for a pod like that because he was not a superstar. He played for a lot of teams, but he was certainly in the NBA and was privy to all of the stories and maybe even the rumors that were going on. Now, he does not present this as a rumor, and we're going to let the audience be the judge here. The podcast was asking what version of LeBron James throughout his 20-plus year career has been the best version of LeBron James. Here's Teague.
Which Bron was better?
Miami Heat Bron.
Miami Heat Bron.
Miami Heat.
I'm going this Cavs Bron because this Cavs Bron had a three.
Man, y'all crazy.
Miami Heat Bron was, I ain't gonna lie.
He was on steroids, bro. He had to sit out. He was on steroids for real.
Now, I give you
like legit was on steroids, bro. I'm allegedly. But like he had to sit out, bro.
Okay, you just want to drop that there. More from Teague mentions why does he think LeBron? Why do people think LeBron was on steroids? Here's more.
Yeah, I remember that though. Nah, when they was like, he got everybody, they started testing for HGH, and they was like, yo, and he had to sit out. Like, he said his back was hurt, and he sat out for like 3 weeks, and he came back skinny. This is just, I was in the league. I remember. And he came back in. He was crazy, though. Bro.
Okay. So he just kind of leaves that there, Pearl. It didn't sound like he was joking.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like he had any proof or anything real there. Like,
well, he's making a reference to the 2014-2015 season. Now, LeBron's on the Cavs at this point, right? So LeBron's on the Cavs. You may remember it. EJ and I were talking about this last night. I'd remember it because LeBron took a two-week break. And I remember he got some criticism because, of course, LeBron always gets criticism. But he got criticism because he went to go watch Ohio State win the national championship. And people thought he actually took a vacation to watch the Buckeyes, his favorite college football team, win the title. Then Brian Windhorst had come out about 10 months after he took the two-week break, came back. They end up going to the finals that year. They lose in six games.
Why would they do that?
So Windhorst comes out 10 months later and says, I got the reason, the reporting for why he missed those 2 weeks. He was dealing with a bad back, and he got two injections after an MRI showed that there was some inflammation in his back.
Okay.
So that's the time frame. So, no, Teague doesn't have any evidence of this, obviously. He wasn't there. But he's talking about this very, you know, at the time, a very big deal of a break that LeBron James took in the middle of the year. Now, again,
but we're just dealing in rumor and speculation. He's like, I heard that LeBron. I mean, to me, like
he said, everybody knows that. But yes, I mean,
I personally think there's all sorts of baseball players who are probably taking something. Is what Teague is saying? Yeah, I guess it's much different because he's in the NBA. But as far as like legacy wise, this is definitely not going to stick to LeBron at all. I would say 0.0%.
Right. Well, one player making this accusation is not going to stick to LeBron. And by the way, that shouldn't stick to him, right? Like you owe somebody, I think, the benefit of the doubt there.
It's a different guy. It's not Jose Canseco saying I shot up steroids with a guy.
Yeah, right.
So the accusation even feels like, accusation even feels like a strong word in this case. Based on what we just played, it feels more like, oh, yeah, he had to be. It's more like, oh, he had to be on steroids.
Okay, so there has been sort of a, I don't want to say not a, this has not caught on in the way that maybe other rumors about LeBron James have caught on because, you know, obviously Jeff Teague doesn't have any proof. He's just saying that this was a rumor going around the league. But where you and I think differ on this is let's say LeBron was, like it did come out that he was on steroids at any point of his career. You don't think that would impact his legacy at all?
No, I don't think we judge steroids in the NBA. I mean, listen, if we're at the Stuart of rumors, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant tripled in size in their NBA career. LeBron did not. LeBron came in at 18 and was gigantic. So I just don't think, I think of the steroid guys in the NBA in the 90s, there were some big dudes.
Right. Well, this is HGH. So
steroid HGH, PED guys.
Right.
I think they were doing HGH in the 90s too.
They may have been. Yeah. I always think of the 90s a little more like the
Winstrol.
Yeah, the East German swimmers type stuff, you know,
I'm
from the Olympics.
I'm pretty sure HGH had started in the 90s.
It may have. I don't have the timeline. But, you know, here's the thing. I disagree with you that if this did come out, and I'm saying this LeBron, any of the great players, right? Any of those, we did Mount Olympus Project for a month around here. Any of those Mount Olympus type players, LeBron is one of the most important sports figures that we have. It would be a massive scandal. I think people would be completely... I think it would gut people who are fans of him, of his. Part of his legacy, it didn't start this way. He's had many different aspects of his legacy, but one part of it, especially now, is the longevity, how he took care of his body, $1 million a year. To think that any of that was manufactured as opposed to earned, I think would hurt people. I do, and I know that there were always the rumors about Kobe. I never knew about Jordan necessarily.
Well, I'm just doing, I have no rumors, just eyeball him. And why, if Jordan would kill you to win a game, why would he not have, if some trainer offered him something, why would he have said no? He's the most competitive human being on the planet.
But no one ever came out and said the whole league thought that Michael Jordan was doing this, right? In the Last Dance, he talked about having to go back from baseball to basketball and different workouts and getting stronger and all of that. He does talk about his body. But I'm just saying, if some of this turned out to be true, I think people would be devastated. I think they would feel... It's not like Lance Armstrong, because Lance was meant like hope for so many people with, you know, coming back from cancer, and people found out he was cheating. And I think even if you had suspicions, I think people felt very let down by that. And I think the same thing would apply to LeBron.
Maybe because of LeBron, but I mean, LeBron's doing a lot of things. Most basketball fans maybe suspect LeBron is getting help in his 40s. I mean... Dude scoring like 26 points a game at 40.
Well, people didn't say it about Brady. I don't think anyone said it about Aaron Rodgers.
Basketball. All my damn respect to him.
Well, these quarterbacks don't have to be, like, they can be kind of chubby. Look at Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, come on.
You don't need the body to be a quarterback. You need the body to perform in these other sports. Like, quarterbacks don't need the body at all, right?
Tom
Brady is looks great now as a player. He looked like me. Like, he was definitely not... You know, quarterbacks, I don't think want to lift too much weight, so they keep the flexibility in the arm. They're not ripped by any means.
I guess I think that people can look very different on different types of things. I don't think everyone has to look like Barry Bonds to mean that's a slam dunk reason that you are taking something to help you.
But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you believe that we view baseball... PEDs differently than every other sport?
Absolutely, because you can just tell by the Hall of Fame. Guys who have done steroids walk into the Hall of Fame and in the other Hall of Fames, and it obviously has kept famously Barry Bonds out and Clemens.
Yeah, so I think that that's LeBron. Obviously,
so you're saying people wouldn't care? I think they would.
But just generally, nobody. I don't think anybody cares about PEDs in basketball. It's just not a common topic. Like I can't even remember a famous PED story.
The one I think of always is Ito Turkoglu got busted for doing steroids.
Ito Turkoglu? I didn't even remember that. I was a big Ito Turkoglu fan.
That Magic team made it to the finals. What were they doing?
Dwight Howard.
Because Ito Turkoglu, and no one actually even says anything about Dwight Howard, whose shoulders look like shelves.
Yeah, nobody cares for basketball.
But they would care with LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, of course they would care
because
with LeBron.
Because he's transcended his sport, and I think he means something more than, I mean, Ito Turkoglu and, you know, is he Turkish? Turkish.
Yeah, I think so.
Turkey, he would probably, this one might be a huge letdown for people, but not here. Here, and worldwide, even for LeBron, he's just such a different figure than anyone else who's ever been busted.
LeBron might be the one exception,
but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, then why do you think this is not sticking? Why do you think people are not covering this?
I think they might be. First of all, LeBron, I think maybe they never heard it. Maybe Jeff Teague is really just stepping out here, and he's like on a limb. LeBron's pretty influential and I don't know if people want to go against the king. You know, he's always kind of been the face. He has been the face of the league, not kind of, he has. And not just that, I think he's been influential. I remember when they were in the bubble, when the NBA did the bubble, and I forgot who it was who said, they weren't sure if they were going to play one day, I think after what happened in Milwaukee. And, I think, was it Giannis said, if LeBron plays, we all play. I can't remember now exactly, but someone said if LeBron plays, we all play. Like, there, I think people follow him. I think he's a powerful guy.
I do feel like with LeBron James, we talked about it earlier, but one of the things we've talked the most about him is just how great he is and still is at this old age. And it's very interesting to me that antennas were raised in baseball when we were like, huh, Roger Clemens is still throwing 95 and winning 20 games, even though he's 40 years old playing for the Astros. And like, it raised eyebrows. It just doesn't with LeBron James. And to Perla's point, that could just be because we don't care about basketball. I do wonder if things get flipped around, if there was something more like a smoking gun, like a Brian McNamee does come on and say, hey, I was injecting this guy. Like, I don't, maybe that's what it would take. But I do feel like so much of what we respect about LeBron is the fact that he could be, you know, in his late 30s winning titles and, you know, being his 40s still scoring 24 points a game. Like, I think that is a big part of his legacy.
No doubt. Yeah.
For you guys, because you guys want to make LeBron bigger than Jordan. For me, I'm just like, this is getting kind of sad.
But you think LeBron is sad right now? No,
I think
you
next
don't.
Year, I think this, I thought it was a little sad that his agent came out and said he just wants a chance to compete for a championship.
No, but on the court, that's not
yeah,
sad.
I think it's getting a little ugly.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like watching him last year. I thought, oh boy, this is
you
this
picked is him to go to the Western Conference Finals.
I think he's getting a little, no, but like, he's not running the same. Like, I don't want to see this LeBron, really, to be honest.
But he's playing so well.
Yeah, he was okay last year. Stumbling around out there.
When you watch him, like, oh, I see the age. And I think it's going to be much worse next year.
Okay, but it's not embarrassing. Like, he's not embarrassing himself.
No, but it's still like, I want to remember LeBron. They brought up a great point. Like, do you remember LeBron on Miami? Like, that was crazy. He was electric.
Well,
like,
of every course. Player. That's his prime.
I'm not a huge fan of LeBron pushing this into his 40s. Like, and I don't think I'm alone on this. Like, do we really want to see him score 23 points a game this year and go out in the first round? Is that going to be, like, add anything to his legacy?
It's not to me about wanting to see it. It's acknowledging that he is still playing really well for a guy his age. Guys his age don't play this well. I'm not a LeBron over Jordan guy. So to me, it has nothing to do with that. It's just being like, wow, this guy's still doing this thing, and he's like, again, still one of the best players in the NBA. Like, that's a thing for him.
I think LeBron's legacy kind of gets maybe chalked up to like how he defied even these incredible expectations, right? I always thought one of his biggest things was living up to this incredible hype that he came into the league with, and then continuing to kind of, he's not perfect by any stretch, we know that, but how he continued to defy expectations and is still doing it at 40. If you did find out he was doing something, I think it would cut people. Michelle is in...
Not three, not four.
Michelle's in Fort Lauderdale. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to say, yes, LeBron was on steroids, but the steroids that they use for back pain are not the same steroids that you use to bulk up. It's a common misconception around people that are not in the medical field. But yes, he was on steroids for back pain. They don't help him bulk up.
Right. No, it's a fair point. Thank you for making it. I think what Jeff, and thank you for calling in, I think what Jeff Teague was alleging is that, and maybe we should have played the extended cut, the NBA started testing for HGH in the 2014-2015 season. And when they started implementing that test for HGH, then LeBron took a two-week vacation. Then later it came out that he was taking injections for a back issue. So it was kind of implied like they started testing for something and all of a sudden he took this mysterious break. And then when he came back later, they blamed it on his back.
And time always ends up like, you know, kind of distorting our views on things. When LeBron arrived in Cleveland for that first training camp and he looked like he lost 40 pounds, everybody was like, what the hell? And then he didn't play that well to start that season. And
but he said he lost. Is that after the movie?
It was the movie, Amy Schumer's movie, and it was the vegan diet. Remember,
well, he told everyone, I lost weight for the movie. Well, maybe lying.
I mean, I'm not saying that wasn't true. I'm just saying that people did raise their eyebrows, and he wasn't playing well. And he came back after that thing. And if you guys remember how he ended that season and how he played in that playoffs, I mean, he was a Terminator.
He should have won the MVP of that finals.
He was a Terminator. And it was like, what the heck? Like, this guy looks like he's back Miami LeBron again. And again, time distorts kind of how we view things. But there was definitely a question of, like, what happened after that two-week break? Like, what happened in there? And they were very mysterious about it. I don't know why you wouldn't just say, hey, he has back issues. He's also never had back issues, seems like, since then. They're just questions that, again, any other player in other sports that are playing into their 40s, especially baseball, we'd say, should we raise any eyebrows about it? And we don't with him.
Cleveland!
I think casual fans have been somewhat suspicious.
This is for you.
I've heard. I mean, like, just like talking on the basketball court, people are like, "Oh, I wonder if he's getting help." I mean, that's not a radical thought. You're right. He's doing things that no one's ever done in his 40s. But again, I don't think people care that much.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The question is Jeff Teague making some, you're right, not allegations, just sort of blurted it out. Like, people think LeBron was on HGH. If you found out that he was, there's no evidence here. If you found out, though, he was, would that change your opinion of him? We have nicknames to get to, Pearl. Unfortunately for LeBron, the King got eliminated in round one. But many of the other great sports nicknames have moved on, and we've got results from the latest rounds of voting next.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. Talking about this, I would say, loose allegation / rumor that Jeff Teague, former NBA player, shared on his podcast that LeBron took PEDs back in the day. Again, we are not saying, even Jeff Teague distanced himself afterwards, said he was joking. I don't know if he was joking.
I mean, how quickly do you think he got a call from Rich Paul?
But I do think it's important as a show we realize there's no real here. We're just sort of talking totally hypothetically. In case you're listening, LeBron, I'm sorry. I did say
LeBron's favorite radio show.
You know what the big argument is? I don't think this year is going to look great. I just don't like the fact that Rich Paul had to come out and say, we'd like to go to a team where we can compete for a championship. Like, what did that say about how LeBron feels about playing with Luka? Not excited to me. Like, it doesn't feel like the Lakers are on La La Land. It feels like he's going to play out this string in a way that's not going to satisfy us. I'm really down. I don't have high hopes for this LeBron experiment.
Let's go to Rich, who's in California. Rich, what do you think? Jeff Teague is saying that he's saying that it was an open secret that LeBron was on something. What do you think?
Well, I think it's like one of those questions that you ask that whatever way you answer it, you're going to be wrong. Therefore, the best thing to do is not answer it. Do I think that those guys use that stuff? Yeah, probably. And I also think they've gotten way more sophisticated at masking that stuff. Does that make them any less an athlete or anything else like that? No, it just simply speaks to the reality that you have people with lots and lots of money and lots of things at stake. And anybody looking for an edge, the opportunity is there. The fact of the matter is, you know, when Mark McGwire quit using them, he got real thin. When Barry Bonds quit using them, he got real thin. We will probably not know until they retire whether or not he was.
Wait, but
it's just
hold on,
kind of a
Rich,
cheap shot.
No, it's funny because outside of the Bay Area, do you think that people give Barry Bonds any kind of grace on this? Like, oh, you know, guys are just doing it. I think he's looked at as kind of he's vilified for
this. Well, you know, it's funny. I do notice that attitudes have changed towards PED. It feels like young guys have no problem with Barry Bonds. I feel like, have you noticed that the younger generation kind of looks up to Barry Bonds?
Of players?
Fans. I feel like 20-something fans don't mind that Barry Bonds took PEDs, where older fans are really bothered by it. I've noticed a major change in attitude.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there is, but I don't know about players, because Aaron Judge was asked about this. Who's the home run king? And he said Hank Aaron.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a political statement. The point is that, it's hard to say with Barry Bonds, because he was not a real nice person to the media, and whether he's being punished for that. Same with Clemens. You're talking about an era where they say roughly 85% to 90% of the guys were using some kind of PEDs,
right?
Some just to stay in the league, some to, those things meant dollar signs to those guys. So to sit there and, wait until such time as he dies before he goes in there, it's kind of silly. Just like it's silly to punish Pete Rose for gambling when, that keeps the doors open at ESPN.
Right, right.
So,
okay. Rich, thank you for that. I mean, we did talk about that when Pete Rose, when that happened. So no punishment at all for any of the steroid guys. Listen, I know some guys who have gotten into the Hall of Fame who had some major, like, were they on the Mitchell Report? What was going on when? I get it. It's not a perfect science, but it's not like the NFL or the Baseball Hall of Fame voters haven't put, you know, air quotes, bad guys in the Hall of Fame, like people who are not nice to the media.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
I don't think it's just that.
Are you against Rich's P. Rose point? Yeah, ESPN is promoting gambling now, but the issue with P. Rose was he's affecting the games.
Like, yeah.
So I understand, and I actually think he's probably right. Like, attitudes have changed a lot towards gambling. If they can't prove he fixed the game, then maybe whatever. I'm not doing a P. Rose debate now. On the PED front, though, I mean, I was there in 98. Like, everybody ignored. Everyone could kind of tell, wait, they're hitting home runs at a record pace. I do think there's a chance, like, the media, of course, wants to put their head in the sand about PEDs because baseball is about to set another home run record this year. Like, home runs are flying out. Bogues had a great point the other day that they maybe changed the ball. But how do we know? We just don't know. That's the thing. Like, I suspect that there are players that found something to get around the test. I'm not naming any players. I'm just as a fan, I'm like, of course somebody's taking something. The home runs are ridiculous right now.
Right, so if it didn't matter, though, and it didn't, and attitudes have changed so much, why hide it? Why test? Why, you know, well, I understand why they test. You can't just have people do, in my opinion, mm-hmm. just whoever's got the best pharmacist all of a sudden, you know, has the best record or has these records. You want to try to keep it clean.
Well, I think it's hard. These guys have so much money. Can you imagine the science that they're deploying to get around these tests? I think that there's probably something out there that we don't know about. Because they didn't really, that's part of the reason these guys got away with it. It took a long time to catch up with the tech.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you there's something. And if look at the money the NBA players are making, why wouldn't they? I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, full economies of small countries are now going to, like, two guards. Like, $350 million a year. There's so much incentive. Anyway, but my point is, like, we put our head in the sand in 98. How do we know? We are now.
888-710-4ISN. Let's get to some sports nicknames, shall we?
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
I think we start a little bit of a trend these days, if you guys notice.
No.
A lot of shows out there talking nicknames, which we love. Okay, let's go to the Tough Guys and Enforcers
also
region.
Talking BBLs.
Where we have, they will be after our conversation yesterday about Brazilian butt lifts, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we've got some business to attend to, and that is the Tough Guys and Enforcers region, which is now open for you to vote on. The one seed is Mean Joe Green.
Only I had something worth that much money. Man, I never should have dropped Mean Joe Green's jersey. Good game, Mean Joe. You want some of my Coke?
Hey, kid. Catch.
Wow, thanks, Mean Joe.
Clip from Family Guy there. Mean Joe Green against the 5 seed in this region, Sweetness. Of course, Walter Payton.
Came right before my professional career when we were playing in the postseason college bowl games. But at that particular time, the saying was, oh, how sweet it is. Oh, that's sweet.
Sweet it is.
So some of the moves that I would make in practice and kidding around, people would say, that was a sweet move. And after we got through practicing, we'd go in to the hotels and they'd see me walking around in the lobby. And for lack of anything else to call, they think about the movie. Hey, Sweetness.
There you go. Okay. That was obviously Walter Payton describing how he got the Sweetness nickname. The 3rd seed in this region is the Intimidator, Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Anything you can have or do to be competitive more than the other guy and beat him is a part of your plan to beat him or your system to beat him. And if you can intimidate him and then they call you the Intimidator, well, so be it.
And the Intimidator is going up against the 7 seed, Smokin' Joe Frazier.
One of the greatest fighters of all time, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, Smokin' Joe Frazier.
So the voting is open right now in the Tough Guys and Enforcers region. And quickly, we have some results for you as we are now in the Elite Eight in half of our bracket. Air Jordan Pearl, a decisive winner over the 5 seed, the Black Mamba.
It became personal with me.
So 76.4% over 23.6%. Air Jordan moves on against the Black Mamba as we're doing the greatest sports nicknames of all time. Yeah. Are you surprised it's that much of a blowout?
Not surprised. I think the Black Mamba got a tough draw. You don't want to see, as a 5 seed, you don't want to see Air Jordan.
I think it's because Kobe gave himself the Black Mamba nickname. I think that started to resonate with people, that you can't give yourself your own nickname. And the 2 seed in the Hoops and Handles region moves on. Irvin Magic Johnson, this one a lot tighter, takes out Pistol Pete Maravich. The final tally, 52.5% to 47.5%. So there you go. It's going to be Air Jordan versus Magic Johnson in the Elite Eight.
That could be a national title game, too.
Sometimes you get these heavyweight matchups a little earlier than you thought.
Yeah, that I think Magic, the Hoops, I mean, listen, basketball has the best nicknames. I will say that to the end.
Okay, so we'll have more results for you later on in the show. It's the Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest sports nickname, and you can go vote right now at Maggie and Perloff on X. Good morning, folks.
Guys, good morning again. In a land of Trey Hendricksons and Terry McLaurins, there's James Cook.
Go Bills.
Bills running back reporting to camp on time, then was on the field for practice yesterday, not holding out, but still wanting an extension. Buffalo also had Joey Bosa back on the field after dealing with a calf injury all spring. So
I like donuts, baby!
Did you see the Hard Knocks first trailer dropped yesterday?
I did.
Yeah, I saw
you
about...
You fired up, Maggie?
I'm not going to be able to handle this.
I saw about 15 seconds of it, and I was like, yeah, it's going to be another Hard Knocks in the 2000s and 10s and 20s. It's going to stink.
As a fan, wow. I'm not that bummed about that. If some huge bombshell doesn't come out about the team that you've been rooting for your entire life and hope that they win a Super Bowl this year, as a fan, I'm kind of hoping we don't get a big expose. But listen, as a just football person, I hope it's interesting.
Hey, Manny, what do you not like about the Hard Knocks now?
The fact that I just fall asleep during them. They're boring to me. It's not good content, in my opinion. The old stuff was hysterical. Funny stuff. I remember watching old clips from, 2000s.
Rex Ryan.
Oh, yeah. That used to be great. Nowadays, you had the good one with the Giants one, and that's the only anomaly. I mean, all of them.
That was
stink.
The good one. They had one good clip. That was the most boring season of Hard Knocks I thought.
That was the best one because
yeah, I agree.
Every day really? They came out with like what?
And if you think that's boring, Maggie, I mean, well, isn't that a referendum on the rest of them?
No. The Saquon stuff ended up living forever, but the guys just farting around at the combine, I could care less about that.
Well, they were in the room and they were going over the running back prospects, and one of the coaches said, "Hey, did you know this guy ran for 1,600 yards?" I was like, "Whoa, really?" I'm like, "That's the analytics you have in the Giants war room? What is going on here?"
I still will never forget that Giants assistant in the front office talking about, so if we lose Saquon Barkley, that's 65% of our offense. What's our identity? And Joe Shane's like, Daniel Jones, something, offensive line. That scene, I'm never going to forget that scene. Because the one guy in the office who asked the right question,
We never saw him again.
Yeah,
I haven't seen him since. And Joe Shane had no answer.
He's with Jimmy Hoffa.
Was he the same guy that said, "Are we sure no one's going to pay Saquon?"
I think he was the same guy. Yeah.
That guy should run the team.
Yeah. Well, then the owner, John Mayer. Okay, maybe it was a little more interesting than I thought.
John Mayer came in
and goes, if he goes to the Eagles, I'll be very, very unhappy.
Now name the most memorable moment from the Hard Knocks at AFC North.
Well, by the way, I totally disagree with you.
Yeah, there you go.
I disagree a little bit. The Todd Haley, Freddie Kitchens fight in Cleveland was a good thing.
Yeah. No, it was Todd Haley and
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, Kitchens wasn't the coach at that point, I don't think.
Kitchens became the coach because both those guys flamed out.
Oh, okay.
He goes, I'm sitting in the big chair.
I remember they were
out of pressure. You're sitting in the big chair. You can make your decision. It was great.
Yeah, I thought Haley and Kitchens had a dust up, too.
Maybe. You might have. Haley's kind of a guy.
It's kind of wild.
That one got a lot of headlines. I mean, you guys are thinking, what year was Rex Ryan? Was it? That wasn't in the 2010s?
That was 2010.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go get it. You know what, snack?
But I think actually, Manny, I think my only point was Hard Knocks has always been the same. I just think there's so much access to football. Like, every team's got a version. Just follow their Instagram feed. You'll see 7,000 behind-the-scenes clips.
Yeah, maybe it is watered down.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Folks, what else you got?
Texans wideout Tank Dell placed on the PUP list as training camp begins. DeMeco Ryan said Dell is recovering very well from that nasty knee injury at Arrowhead last December, but the expectation remains Dell misses the entire season. Oh. J.J. McCarthy missed all of last season, needing 2 surgeries on his knee, but Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones are gone, Aaron Rodgers never came, so JJ's QB1 in Minnesota.
I feel different just because, you know, it's a different situation being year two, knowing the offense a lot better than I did when I first came in here, and knowing the guys and how they move and, you know, how they react to certain, you know, coaching points and just little, you know, things that go along with day-to-day, you know, practice and meetings. And, yeah, it's a definitely a different feeling and a really good one.
Apparently McCarthy lost some weight while rehabbing this knee issue, but he's now back to 220. His highlight of day one of training camp was a 60-yard connection to Jordan Addison.
That is a hard team to predict, by the way. Maggie and I were like, the Vikings, yeah, you like them, right? Like, you like them, but then you look at the NFC North and be like, well, they got J.J. McCarthy. I'm not betting on this team.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if we're going a little too far in the other direction of fading them so hard because yeah. You still have Justin Jefferson. You still have Jordan Addison. You still have a really good offensive line. You have a run game. You've got a good tight end. Like, you've got all the things. So.
I could easily see them in the NFC title game just as well. What if J.J. McCarthy's good? Then it's like, whoa.
He might be.
Then we're talking Super Bowl.
Remember, you thought this that quarterback draft class was going to be like...
Definitely. I still
1983.
Think did you see the headlines the other day that the Bears were looking hard at J.J. McCarthy?
I did see that.
According to The Athletic?
Yeah, that's what Cole said.
Yeah, there are a lot of J.J. McCarthy stands in the NFL. It's kind of weird.
The Bears!
It wasn't that long ago that the Guardians were on a 10-game losing streak. Now they win almost every day.
Line drive, base hit center field. Here comes Bo around third. Ruggi waves him home. Throw to the plate. Save. Stephen Kwan delivers the tie-breaking two-out RBI single in the eighth.
That's on Guardians TV. Stephen Kwan's RBI single getting them a 3-2 win over Baltimore. Cleveland now 11-2 since that long losing streak. The Rangers with a 3-game sweep of the A's with a 2-1 final. The White Sox rallying for an 11-9 win in Tampa. Those Rays led 4-0 and 7-5. They've now dropped 11 of 16. And the Red Sox outlasted the Phillies 9-8 in 11. The MLS All-Stars beat some guys from the Mexican League 3-1 last night in Austin.
But
the headline is no Messi. Leo and his Miami teammate Jordi Alba skipped the game, weren't even there, presumably to rest after a hellacious recent schedule. But yeah. They are now subject to a 1-game suspension since they are not actually injured, as far as we know.
And good. Because, I mean, they've had this long workload, which I understand. They need a break because it's been absolutely crazy. But, I mean, to not even show up, just show up, dude. Answer two questions in Spanish and just show up to the event. He wasn't even there. He deserves his 1-game hit. And if he wants rest, you'll get him right now with that 1-game suspension. He deserves it.
Am I noticing a trend? In America, you don't really have to show up. You need long breaks like Christian Pulisic. Like, maybe he's kind of following the American lead.
That's not what you want, because how many World Cups have the Americans won? Nada. Cero. Leonel.
And alone in the WNBA last night, the Atlanta Dream, a 90-79 win in Phoenix. Brittany Griner, 17 points and 8 rebounds against the team she played 11 seasons for. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. Coming up, the latest person to weigh in on the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons tete-a-tete. Get to that next.
Michael Parsons.
Giddy up. It's time for the Cowboy Quickie. Pearl, been a lot of Cowboy chatter over the last couple days because Jerry Jones first kind of took a side swipe at Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott in his training camp press conference, saying, hey, even if when I pay these guys, then I don't know if they're going to stay healthy. Like, look at Dak Prescott. Missed games last year. Micah Parsons missed games.
Facts.
They are facts.
Jerry is spitting facts right now.
Yeah, he didn't have it exactly right when he said how many games they missed. But
ballpark. Michael Parsons, Mike Parsons' name.
And he's called him Michael Parsons.
Seen worse.
Here's CeeDee Lamb now, who knows
Michael
what it's
Parson.
Like to go through a extended contract situation with Jerry and company. Said he hates playing these media games with Jerry Jones, hopes Micah gets his money.
For Mike, man, Mike knows I love him, and being in this situation, obviously playing this media game with Jerry is not the best. It's not fun. It's not recommended. But as for Micah, he knows what he brings to this table. Honestly, for this team, for himself, and he should get what he deserves. And I'm not indulging in any of the craziness that they got going, but I do want Micah to get paid soon.
I love it. It's like negotiating with Jerry. 0 stars. Would not recommend. It's basically what CeeDee Lamb just said. Not a positive review. It's not fun. Wouldn't recommend it. So I don't know if that's going to help any of this because, to be honest, like, I think Jerry loves this. I think he loves the attention that it all brings. It obviously costs him money generally, so it's not like it's great for the bottom line.
Are you
I think
kidding me?
Jerry just wants to be in the news, and that's your Cowboy Quickie for today.
That is true. I can't argue with that. But I also think Jerry does not like handing out money. It's weird because he ends up doing it. But he's got the most value. It feels like every dollar that's taken out of his hand is pried out because he has the most valuable franchise in all of sports. Maybe more than the Yankees, maybe more than, I don't know, Real Madrid or something. And still, he seems to account for every dollar. He's like, well, I paid Trayvon Diggs, and look what he did. Like, he actually takes it personally when these guys do not deliver on his investment, which is not how a football team works. You have a salary cap, and you have to spend it. You can't, like, look at every dollar like that, right? No other owner is talking about, man, I feel bad. I wasted money on this guy.
Well, so if you think their injury histories are, you know, problematic, or you think they should in any way, like, impact future contracts, then do something about that. Don't just whine and complain about it and then end up making these guys the highest paid at their position. If it's a legit injury concern, which is kind of what he was hinting at, or not hitting at, he was just saying there's no guarantees they're going to play. But if you're really concerned about injury, then don't sign Dak Prescott. Move on from him. Like, it's not like Dak was the picture of health before they gave him the $60 million and he got hurt for another time.
But you say that. It was not that easy. Again, I'm going to defend Jerry here. Like, we didn't, even you and I did not know what to do about Dak. Dak, listen, the mistake was made. They should not have let him get the free agency. They should have paid him earlier. But he was coming off a season where he was second in MVP voting. To say not pay Dak is easier in theory. Like, I think a lot of people were like, yeah, you kind of have to pay Dak. He came off a great season. What's your other option? Cooper Rush? You're just going to say, Dak, you can leave. I'm going to go Cooper Rush. So I think, like, and again, what if Micah Parsons is asking for crazy guarantees for the next 5 years? Like, maybe Jerry's right. Maybe he should be playing hardball. Have you ever thought of that angle?
Can I just pose another question to you? Because you're asking me questions that I don't know the answer to. I have no idea if anyone's being unreasonable about the X's and O's of the contract. All I know is I'm very confident that Micah Parsons will get this contract and it will be touted as he is the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. But can I ask you another question? A little 30,000 foot view on the Cowboys. I think people would generally think, playing for the Cowboys has probably got to be really fun. No, you don't win Super Bowls, but you have America's team. You get very famous, endorsement opportunities. Anywhere you go in the country, being a Dallas Cowboy, you can find Cowboy fans, you know, because their fan base is so universal. This seems like it's not that fun to be a Cowboy. And CeeDee Lamb saying this is not fun to do these contract negotiations. You're under this crazy microscope. Remember these stories, and a couple of them now have come out, about how they have tours that go through the star while guys are weightlifting and stuff. Guys have come out and said, it makes us feel uncomfortable. We feel like we're in a zoo. You know, this is our workspace, and all of a sudden you got people coming in taking pictures, like tourists. Is it actually not that fun to be a Dallas Cowboy?
Well, Zeke Elliott seemed to love it. I mean, maybe it depends how you're cut out. It seems like CeeDee Lamb has a lot going on besides just the Cowboys. I don't know. I mean, you get to go out to Oxnard. That's awesome.
Okay, but, you know, there's other teams that hold training camps in fun places.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, first of all, I think it's pretty, I don't think it's so dissimilar because I heard a lot of people talk about, for example, the tourist like group. A lot of players like, that's no big deal at all.
Yeah, I've heard both.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, every training camp has tons of fans around. Like, a lot of every training camp sells tickets to the fans. I don't think the Cowboys is that much of a pain. I think it's pretty much like any other team. You think it's so different?
You know, I don't know, but I just can tell from the places I've been, I would never be allowed as a media member to sit in a weight room and watch the Jets lift weights. Like, I've never been in a situation.
You're saying they can sit in the weight room?
Well, they're walking by like the weight room.
You can see there are a lot of, actually, like the Texans, I know they have a fully transparent weight room, like the glass is open.
Yeah, I guess the Jets maybe too. I'm trying to think of Jets and Giants. I've never actually seen the Giants weight room, and I've been out there many, many times. I don't think that's open at all.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I don't know.
I think there are other open weight rooms. But then again, like, it's an NFL team. Like, you're getting paid a ton of money. Is it really that much of a pain in the butt?
To me, no. But to these guys, they feel like it's their personal space. I don't know.
Also, they seem, you know, listen, Jerry hires relatively nice guys as coach. Like, Brian Schottenheimer seems like a player's coach. At least that's, I don't remember him being like that back in the day, but it seemed like everybody was psyched that Brian Schottenheimer was there. Jason Garrett was pretty friendly. It doesn't seem like the hardest place to play. You really think it's like, oh my God, don't give me the Cowboys. I think CD is maybe a different cat. I'm not
sure. Figure it out.
I don't know. It just, is it all the fun that maybe you would think it's cracked up to be, you know, just by being on such a famous, you know, playing for such a famous franchise. You've always thought that guys get elevated because of the star.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of calmed down right now because there aren't a lot of household names on that team. Even Dak about 5 years ago, Dak got every commercial and now he doesn't, even his buzz is down. Like, I don't see him in as many commercials. Remember, he was like Sleep Number and Oikos and the Greek yogurt. I feel like, and CeeDee Lamb doesn't get a lot of commercials. I don't see him. So I don't even know if they're stars anymore. Like, who are the household names?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily even the, yes, I think part of it is the endorsement deals, but I also think it's Pro Bowls. Because I remember, you know, there used to be a long time, at least with the team that I grew up rooting for with Buffalo, that guys didn't want, it was a tough place to go, first of all, because they weren't very good for a long time, but also you felt like you couldn't make Pro Bowls there. Now, Josh Allen has changed that because there's so many more eyeballs. They get all these primetime games, but the Cowboys get the most eyeballs, right? That's the thing. And so guys have a, you know, can maybe make Pro Bowls when there could be someone else who's more deserving. So you do get elevated in that way.
I mean, I think Micah Parsons got elevated by being there for sure. Like he's in the headlines all the time, in part because he's a Cowboy. You know, the thing is, I think a lot of, if you look, open up free agency, I think tons of players would choose to go to Dallas. So
right.
For one reason, because of visibility. Also, tons of players are from Dallas. Like this is home to so many NFL players. I would imagine more than pretty much any city in the country. I don't know that it, like, you're painting it like, oh, it's miserable. Yes, maybe negotiating with Jerry when you're trying to get the highest paid contract is not fun. I don't think it's that hard to be a Cowboy. I think you and I see this differently. And who cares if there are fans around? Like, does that really bother you?
It's not me. Yeah. Them. I'm not going off what I think.
All the quotes are from kind of disgruntled guys, right, who probably got, most of the quotes are from guys who left the Cowboys.
Yeah, but that's not uncommon. Kevin is in San Antonio. Kevin, does it seem like a lot of fun to be a Cowboy right now?
Nope. If I was a player for the Cowboys and I'm trying to get my contract, Jerry Jones is in the way because, number one, remember back in the days when the Cowboys were real good, Jimmy Johnson was in full control. Now, since that Eagle came up, they never been successful for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to keep on having problems with players. Dak Prescott, he may be injury prone. You never know. He may not even complete a season.
Well, Jerry paid him anyway.
Yeah, and he paid him anyway. But see, what comes around goes around.
Kevin, I got to ask you a question away from football for a second. So Kevin sends us a picture of his breakfast every morning at maggieandperloff@gmail.com, and we love it. I noticed you've been using a lot of lemon lately in some of your recipes. Are you just like going through a phase, or you always like lemon in your pancakes and lemon cake and stuff?
Well, I'm trying to be creative. I'm trying to put lemon juice in the pancake mix. Now I got a strawberry cake. I'm going to work on the strawberry cake, and I'm going to send the pictures to you.
I can't wait for that. Thank you, Kevin. This is fantastic. Every morning I open up maggieandperloff@gmail.com, and I know that I'm going to have a picture of Kevin's fun breakfast and now some other baked goods.
Yeah, I don't get the lemon and pancakes.
You've never heard of like a lemon ricotta pancake or anything like that?
No.
No?
I've heard of blueberry pancakes. Yeah, I don't think IHOP had lemon ricotta when I was a kid.
Bisquick. Little Bisquick. Boom. Done.
Yeah. No, nothing beats it. God, pancakes are so good.
Lemon ricotta pancakes. You say that like, oh, of course, lemon. Yeah, that's a thing?
That sounds way too bougie
for me. This is New York brunch, guys. Come on. You guys know what
bacon,
we're
egg,
about.
And cheese, baby.
How Kevin's got that, too.
Chicken and waffles. Now, that's the hot New York thing.
But don't tell people from the South that that's a Southern thing.
Now I'm hungry, guys. Darn it.